Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me again today on the Common Sense Party Podcast. Today, we are getting even more controversial than we did in the first one. First of all, I do want to apologize about the fact that I am not doing this regularly. I gotta get on this. But today, we are going to be discussing something that is gonna get me canceled immediately. And I can't help that, okay? Because as I established last time, or you know what? Maybe I didn't establish it. Last time. I don't even remember what I said last time, to be quite honest with you. But hopefully, as I established last time, there are three different kinds of human value. There is inherent human value, which is the value we all have that makes us equal regardless of our race, ethnicity, nationality, age, you name it. But disability, whatever it is, we are all equal. I am no more valuable than any of the people I discuss. They are no more valuable than me when it comes to our inherent human value. The second kind of human value is biological value, which does not care about anybody's feelings and is strictly related to, can you reproduce? And if you do reproduce, how likely are those offspring to live until they reproduce? This is just pure science. There is no emotion in this whatsoever. And this, I think, is one of the types of human value that people confuse with inherent human value. So, for example, a person with disabilities who is spending their entire lives in a wheelchair and is unable to, let's say they live in a small town and really the only jobs available in that small town are jobs in which they would have to be able to stand up and do factory work. Well, obviously that's not going to happen because they're in a wheelchair. So the town is going to have to take care of them, you know, especially considering the fact that they aren't in a financial position to just move to somewhere else where they could do a job that involves their mind and not their legs. So in this particular situation, that human being would have no more valuable than me or you or anyone. That human being is no worse or better than me. That human being has inherent human value that is the same as everyone else's. But biologically speaking, that human being is less valuable than me. This is what biology thinks. This is not what I think. I have already stated, I hope, I stated this in the last one, I have already stated that I believe every human being is inherently equal. And I like to start, when I'm having private conversations with people about very complicated topics, I like to start the conversation by saying, all right, there's something that we both need to agree about before we get into this. And that thing that we need to agree about is the fact that we are both equal and we both have inherent equal value as human beings. And if that's not something the other person can agree to, then we can't even start the conversation. So, now that I have prefaced that, there is a third type of human value, which is social human value. And just to stick with our example of the person in the wheelchair, social human value is how valuable are you to your society in general? And this is a lot better now than it used to be, considering the fact that, you know, we have progressed so far as a society that we can take care of the smaller percentage that can't take care of themselves to the extent that the rest of us can. Plus, there's the fact that technology has gotten so much better and will continue to improve, and things that used to be disabilities are now no longer going to be considered disabilities. The same way that having poor vision isn't even really looked at as a disability anymore because we have glasses, we have contacts, we have laser surgery. And so, you know, back in medieval times, or I don't know, I'm really bad with history, whatever, before glasses were created, if you couldn't see, you were SOL, right? Like, you were just screwed. Good luck. But now, it's not even looked at as a disability anymore because it's accounted for, you know? We have things to make it into no longer a disability. That was butchered English, I'm so sorry, but you get the point. And eventually, people who, you know, are paralyzed from the waist down are going to be able to have robot legs that look just like human legs because the technology is so advanced that you're not even going to be able to tell the difference between someone who was born with working legs and someone who was born with legs that were paralyzed. And so now we are in the precursor to that. We're not to that point yet. So eventually their social value is going to rise because of technology and because we are getting better and better as a society at helping people, bringing people up where we are, which is amazing and beautiful. And I'm so happy about this technology that's starting to come in. But let me remind you, social value and inherent human value are different. So in situations when I talk about someone's biological value and I talk about their social value, keep in mind that both of those values together, added together, still do not equal the inherent human value of another human being, okay? I'm gonna say that again, okay? Because it is very important. If you add someone's biological value and social value together, whatever number you come to is still gonna be a heck of a whole lot less than their inherent human value. At least that's where I'm coming from. Now that I have spent literally 6 minutes doing a disclaimer, let me say the controversial topic of this podcast. I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, please do. I believe that there is a possibility that sexual orientation, sexual preferences, and gender identity can be negatively affected by childhood abuse and trauma. Now, I know there are people listening to this who are so ready to be offended that they're not even going to finish listening to this podcast. And I urge you, before you get offended, to listen to everything I'm about to say, okay? This can work either way. Let me paint a picture for you. Let's say we are in a small Kentucky Bible Belt southern town, and there's one middle school, maybe one high school, maybe two or three elementary schools, a very, very small town, okay? And you have this little boy who likes to dress up in his mommy's shoes. And this little boy is very feminine. Now, his mom finds him wearing her shoes and beats him. Just beats the pulp out of him. Because she's trying to, and I quote, beat the gay out of him. Is this fucked up? Yes. Is this abuse? Yes. Now, let's say that her reasoning behind doing this to her child is, well, it's better me than his dad. If his dad had found him, his dad would have killed him. So really, I was doing him a favor. This way, it won't happen again. This is how his mother has rationalized beating her son. Now, her son grows up to believe that doing anything feminine whatsoever is morally wrong and is going to get him beat to a pulp. So he has successfully convinced himself that he is straight as an arrow. He is, in this imaginary scenario, let's say 20 years old, 25 years old. He has not dated a guy. He's never kissed a guy. He tries very hard and succeeds in suppressing any gayness that's inside of him. Why? Because of the trauma and abuse he experienced as a child. Now, if this guy were to come out and say, you know what? I think I'm only straight because of the abuse I experienced as a child. I'm not actually straight. You know, I really think the abuse that I suffered as a child made me think I was straight, but really, I am part of the LGBT community. How would the LGBT community or LGBTQ plus, how would those people, how would they see this story? What would they think? If you are in the LGBT community, I'm asking you right now, I want you to just think about your answer to what I'm saying. Imagine this little boy, this country town, southern, Bible Belt dude, poor thing, gets beaten by his mother, who is rationalized abusing her son because she says, well, it would be worse if it was his father that found him. And this way he'll never do this again, and therefore she has saved his life. This is her rationale here. And now her son has grown up believing that he is straight because there is no alternative. The alternative is that he dies. And so he has had such life-affecting trauma and abuse and anger and he's suppressing all of the sexual desire for men that he has, to the point where he has successfully convinced himself that he is straight as an arrow. Now, I think, and I actually would like to do this survey whenever I have the chance. I haven't done this survey yet, but I want to believe that most people, if not all, in the LGBT community would say, you know what? That is absolutely what happened. His sexuality, the fact that he thinks he's straight, he only thinks he's straight because he was abused as a child. So they would agree with me in this sense. They would agree with half of my argument, because what I just said to you is half of my argument. The other half of my argument is the controversial part, and that is, it can work the other way too. Imagine that it did work the other way. If you're in the LGBT community, would you still agree with me? Someone who is not straight, someone who has convinced themselves with their whole heart that they are not straight, and yet perhaps the only reason why they were able to successfully convince themselves that they were part of the LGBT community is because they were abused. If I say that, I am bigoted, which doesn't make any sense, because it's either both are true or neither is true. And by the way, I am not saying that everyone who is a member of the LGBT community has been abused. Clearly, obviously, I'm not saying that, since I literally started my argument by saying this happens with people who consider themselves straight as well. There are plenty of people in the world who are not in the LGBT community, according to them, but only because they were abused. And the argument that I'm making now is that the same can be true for people inside the LGBT community. And what exactly, more specifically, am I saying? What I'm saying is that your gender identity, your sexual preferences, and your sexual orientation can potentially be affected by childhood abuse. And I'm going to talk your ear off right now by repeating once again that this can go both ways. But I want to be very clear here, because I know for a fact that there are going to be people who listen to this because they are looking for a reason to be offended. And people who are looking for a reason to be offended don't bother listening to an entire argument or dissecting an entire argument. They just pick one piece of it and roll with that. So I would not be surprised if at some point someone rips this podcast, takes it out of context, and makes a whole YouTube video absolutely dragging me for 2 minutes of this many-minute podcast. And I have pretty thick skin, so I'm not too worried about it. But what I am worried about is the fact that there are people who are living a lie on both sides of the aisle, meaning that there are people who think they're part of the LGBT community but aren't, and there are people who think they're not part of the LGBT community but are. And what do they have in common? Being abused as a child. I mean, this can go several different directions. I've already talked about sexual orientation, but the same can be true for gender identity as well. You have a little girl, she's abused. She has convinced herself when she gets older that she is actually a man. Is that possible? Of course it's possible. Is that definitely for sure what happened? Not necessarily. But the fact that I'm not even allowed to suggest it's a possibility without sounding bigoted is a huge red flag for me. Because if you're not allowed to suggest that a human being needs therapy for something that could potentially be connected, the reason why that raises a red flag is because, to me, that is sweeping huge problems under the rug without actually dealing with them. So, do we admit, and it's okay if you disagree with me, I would like to know why. It'd be really cool to know why, but just because either both are true or neither is true. And I know there are people who are going to be listening to this who are going to say that I'm being bigoted because this isn't fair and this doesn't make any sense. But I think if you are in that category, you are arguing purely from emotion. and not logic at all. And I think that human beings need to learn how to balance their logic and emotion. I'm not one of those people who, oh, facts don't care about your feelings, because I think that's a bit naive to suggest that humans, to imply that humans should never argue from emotion, because we are emotional creatures, and a lot of the decisions we make are decisions that we make because of our emotions that we have rationalized after the fact. We don't admit that to ourselves, but it's true, especially things like buying, for example. You know, we convince ourselves that we need something emotionally, but then after we've mentally already made that choice, we try to find some logic to justify it. And because human beings are very emotional, I think to suggest facts don't care about your feelings and, you know, you gotta always be logical, I think that's a bit naive. But I also think it's a bit silly to use only your emotions to argue and completely throw logic under the bus. It's a balance, and it has to be, it's like a muscle that needs to be exercised, you know, balancing your, standing on one foot, that takes a lot of muscle. You know, like there's a bunch of exercises where you're balancing on your one foot or one hand or whatever. And that's hard. It takes a lot of muscle to do that. And being able to balance your emotion and your logic when you're making arguments and trying to understand arguments is the same way. It is muscles that need to be worked out. And so how do you work out those muscles? You force yourself to think about complicated conversations. Now, back to the subject at hand. BDSM, being kinky, getting choked, slapped, hit, spit on. If that genuinely arouses a person, but that person was also abused as a child, my argument is that these two things can potentially be connected. Honestly, I think there's a huge, huge chance that these things are connected. Way more likely that they are connected than that they aren't connected at all. The question is not, are they connected, really, I think. The question is, how much, to what extent are they connected? I think that's true for sexual preferences, like the kinkiness, the BDSM, that kind of thing. And I think it's also true, potentially, for sexual orientation and gender identity. If you were abused as a child, and now as you get older, you identify as transgender, or non-binary, or perhaps one of the other different gender identities that exist now, I think this is something that needs to be discussed with a therapist. And I know this is only my second podcast, so people are probably not aware of my stance on mental health yet, but I'm a huge proponent for mental health. You know, I think mental health is something that has been swept under the rug by society in general. I mean, I try to casually mention that I have a therapist because I want people to hear me say that I have a therapist without making a big deal out of it. I just throw it in conversation randomly. Someone says, hey, do you want to go do this thing, hang out? I'm like, yeah, sure, we'll go after my therapist appointment. I'll be done at 5 o'clock and then we can go. You know, what kind of ice cream do you want? And then I just continue talking. And then they stop me sometimes and they say, wait a minute, you have a therapist? And I'll be like, yeah, what's the big deal? You know, I'm very, very clear about the fact that it's not a big deal. And so many times people who don't realize what this means will say something like, oh, you don't seem like you need a therapist. I mean, you kind of have your shit together. Wow. The fact that people who seem like they have their shit together are people who probably need a therapist the most, to be honest with you, because they are masking so hard. But anyway, that's a different conversation. The point I'm trying to make here is that when I suggest that someone needs mental health services, I am not sitting on my high horse pointing down at them, telling them that I'm better than them. Like I said earlier, I believe we have the same inherent human value. A gay person, a trans person, a non-binary person, I believe that I am an equal to them because we all have the same inherent human value. And that human value matters more than any other kind of value that exists when it comes to the other two I mentioned, such as biological and social. I'm going to say that often when I make these recordings because it's something that I don't believe my beliefs are a contradictory of. In fact, I believe that the fact that I want people to check this out so they can just cross it off the list and make sure it's not hindering them, that's important, you know? Like, that's incredibly important to me, to make sure people aren't living a lie because of what happened to them when they were a child that they couldn't control. And like I said, this goes both ways. Maybe you're straight, or maybe you only think you're straight because you were abused. Maybe you're gay. Oh, but maybe you only think you're gay because you were abused. Maybe you're trans. Oh, but you only think you're trans because you were abused. Maybe you're kinky. Oh, you only think you're kinky because you're abused. You know, maybe you like vanilla sex. Well, maybe you only like vanilla sex because you were abused. I mean, this can go on and on and on, back and forth, ping-ponging across categories. I am being very clear about the fact that I am not honing in on the LGBT community here and saying, oh, if you're in the LGBT community, it's probably because you were abused. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you are in the LGBT community and you have been abused, you need to ask yourself, how likely is it that these two things are connected? And if it is likely, how likely, or how, to what extent are they connected? Meaning that if you had not been abused, would you still have this identity? Now, this is not a question that you can answer for sure, because you can't go back in time and not be abused and figure out what would have happened. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm not suggesting that you dwell forever on the what if. What I'm suggesting is that you talk through this with a therapist, okay? Because this is something that's very near and dear to my heart. It doesn't matter why. Don't worry about it. The point is that I want people to ask themselves this, even though it's something people don't want to look in the face of. They don't want to ask themselves these difficult questions, because it means admitting that there's something wrong with them, and or in their heads. Okay, I'm putting myself in their shoes when I explain this. They believe that they are admitting that they're damaged if they look this in the face, and they don't want to do that. Therefore, they brush it under the rug, and society is doing nothing to help that, because if you suggest what I'm suggesting now, you get canceled. Or rather, if you suggest half of what I'm suggesting now, you get canceled. If you suggest that a straight person only thinks they're straight because they were abused as a child, like my first example, that's totally fine. You know, you can get lauded for that. So many retweets on Twitter. And yet, if you say the other direction, oh, well, you might think you're gay only because you were abused as a child. If you say that, you get canceled automatically. I mean, I guarantee you, when this podcast blows up, there are going to be people who try to cancel me specifically because of this entry. I mean, probably most of my entries, because I started this podcast because I wanted to say things that other people were afraid to say. But, you know, mental illness is something that is very, very important. And I think, and now we're about to get into kind of another topic, but transgender folks, I do not believe I am more valuable than them. Once again, reminding you to this over and over again, I do not believe that I am more valuable as a human being than someone who identifies as a trans man or a trans woman. That is, does not make me better than that person. But being trans is a mental illness, because you are diagnosed with transgender, or you are, that sounded dumb. That's not really what I meant. I'm not going to go back and edit that out, because I like to be raw. I misspeak. I'm okay with that. You know, if you're diagnosed with gender dysphoria, that is how you know that you are trans. And there's this huge schism in the trans community right now between trans women who actually have gender dysphoria and are fighting for it to be considered a medical condition. And then this other group of trans men and women who were like, no, you don't actually have to have dysphoria to be trans. Which flies in the face of everything that trans women are trying to accomplish. Because if it's not a medical condition, if it's something that you can just identify into at will or identify out of at will, then there's no reason for any trans-related health services to be covered by insurance, which means that they're not going to get mental health services, which is the whole fucking point. Like, hello. They're not going to get mental health services. They're not going to get insurance to cover any of their hormone therapy or any of their surgeries. And all of these things are going to pile up. And trans women are trying to explain this, and they're being overshadowed by the louder people in the group. And I think when, and there's this huge movement right now to completely remove the quote end quote stigma of mental illness from the definition of transgender. But I think the reason why this exists as a thing that's happening, this trying to remove the fact that it is a mental health issue, I think that's because there is such a stigma against mental health and acknowledging that you need help with your mental health. Just like I was mentioning earlier, I mean, I guarantee you there are people who look at you if you have depression or if you have anxiety or if you're OCD or, you know, these mental health issues, they look at you like less of a person. They believe that you have less inherent value. And people who are offended by being told that transness stems from a mental health issue, I think they're just succumbing to what society makes them believe about mental health. I think if we were to remove the stigma against getting help for your mental health, these people who are so offended wouldn't be so offended anymore. I truly believe that the reason why being transgender to no longer result from mental health issues is because the idea that they themselves have mental health issues is offensive due to what society has pushed onto us for generations, is that there's something wrong with you. Well, obviously there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with everybody. Nobody's perfect. But because of the type of thing that is wrong that needs to be addressed, that for some reason makes you inferior to someone with a broken leg. No, it is not this. Ugh. You can tell that I'm getting frustrated because I'm getting incoherent. But anyway, this is going to take a little bit more of a deep dive. I am not done with this conversation, but I am very talk about whatever I want. So I will circle my way back around to this later. But just for now, I want to conclude this podcast by suggesting that it is entirely possible that someone's sexual preferences, sexual orientation, and gender identity could be the way it is because they were abused as a child. But that does not mean that everyone who has a non-cisgender gender identity must therefore have been abused as a child. Okay, that does not mean that everyone who is gay therefore must have been abused as a child. That does not mean everyone who is a lesbian therefore must have been abused as a child. I'm just saying that if those two things are true, then that is something that needs to be discussed with a therapist.